How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 25th of July. Moneyball of the NBA, has my research discovered it. Windor says the Jazz are involved in Melo talks. We'll find out more about that. Plus, we'll look around the NBA, some of the other things are happening, and what we won't talk about is the Gordon Hayward interview. It's all coming up next on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're doing really, really well. Appreciate the time, and thanks for tuning in. It is July 25th, my son's 15th birthday today. So tip of the hat to mom, who 15 years ago today was doing all the work. He's a wonderful kid. Very, 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 very lucky to have a 15-year-old son who still is sweet, loving, caring, and most of all is nice. All right, I have a deep thought that I want to share to open. I want to make sure this is clear. I'm in no way giving advice on this issue because I don't know what the hell I'm doing as a parent. So I'm not giving advice. But I think this, I had a conversation that I wanted to share with everyone yesterday. I thought was interesting. My daughter left yesterday for a 4-week sleepaway camp, which is somewhat torture to me because she and I are fairly inseparable. And she's my little buddy. But it's the best thing I do as a parent. I don't have any idea what I'm doing as a parent. I do know that that is right. The summer camp they go to is a really special, magical place. And I was talking to someone about that yesterday. And I said, the reason is because they reward you for being nice. And in what other circumstance in life do we reward kids for being nice? We reward them for a great football play. We reward my daughter for her golf, my son for his report cards and his skiing. But how often do we simply ask our kids, were you nice today? Great. That's really what matters. So that's just my deep thought for the day. Sorry, I just saw something come across the wire. Anthony Brown out of Stanford has been my example of a two-way contract I've been using all the time, and he just signed a two-way contract with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So really kind of funny. Only to me, probably. We'll talk about all the things that are going on. I've done some research recently that I wanted to share with you that I thought was really interesting in regards to three-point shooting and a style that I think may mean the Jazz can do well this year. Today's show will not have the Gordon Hayward interview in it. I have no idea if this – I will listen to it at some point. I just can't get myself to do it yet. But I also – the dynamics around the interview to me – so this is probably too much inside the business for you, but I'm just going to share with you a thought and we'll see if it's true. You know, it might not be. So when the Hayward camp did the little 7-hour delay so they get their Players Tribune thing out, Woj got screwed. And not to his fault. He's obviously the best reporter there is out there. Or as, you know, as good as any. I don't want to say best because that means somebody else. But, you know, as good as anyone. And Chris Haynes had reported that the story works for ESPN. Chris Haynes was right. Woj reported what Bartlestein said. Woj looked pretty bad first week at ESPN. If I'm Woj, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just telling you, if I'm Woj, I'm killing Bartlestein. I mean, I am furious. I mean, I am so hot. It's unreal. despite all of Bartlestein's claims that they hadn't made up their mind. But I'm just sharing with you that if I'm Woj at that point, I mean, I am on a rampage. Woj is really important. Woj is really, really good, and Woj is really important. If you're Bartlestein, you don't want Woj on your bad side at all. So as a maybe apology or as a make good, what do? You give Woj Hayward for an hour. That's my theory on that interview, of where that interview came from, and a little bit my theory on why there might not be any hard-hitting, really revealing stuff in that. I'll ask Gordon if he wants to come on, but I don't know if he does or if that many people want to hear it. So anyway, today's show, by the way, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, the good people there. I'll update you on what's going on with that. So I've done some research recently, and I researched two different things. I researched both whether or not if you could find a slow pace of play team that was actually in the top half of the NBA in fast break percentage of points that are fast break points. Does that make sense? So the first one was slow pace of play team. I'm assuming we're still going to be a slow pace of play team. I just think it's the style we play. I think it's what Quinn believes in. That's my guess on where we sit on this. So I want to see if maybe with our defense and the steals and some of those kind of things, whether or not we might be able to create a different aspect of teams. I didn't find much. I found very little, in fact. It wasn't as revealing as I had hoped. I thought maybe I could discover something more, but quite honestly, that wasn't a great find on my part. I did a bunch of work on it, didn't discover entirely what I wanted on it, and so I'm going to leave that as a non-find. But what I did do, the next step of what I did do, was I went and looked at the teams that are, and this has always been a strong belief on my part that this is the answer to how to play Moneyball in the NBA. And what I did was I looked at slow pace of play teams that shot a high volume of threes. So over the last 10 years, there have been 11 teams that were in the bottom 20% of pace of play, bottom six. And in the top 20% in percentage of field goal attempts that were threes. Let me just say it again. Over the last 10 years, there have been 11 teams that were bottom 20% in pace of play and top 20% in percentage of field goal attempts that were threes. So not number of threes, but percentage of your field goal attempts. All but one had a winning record. The only one that has not had a winning record was last year's Dallas Mavericks. All of them but last year's Dallas Mavericks also had a top 15 offense. And 7 of the 11 had a top 10 offense. The winning percentage was 62.4%, pretty high. The average offensive rating was 7.5. I think last year we were close to this. We were 11th in the league in three-point attempts, not top six. It's hard to do. Play in the half court and bomb threes. It's hard to do. Dallas last year tried it, but they tanked at the end of the season and it didn't work for them. But otherwise, it has worked. And those teams have won 62.4% of their games, and their average offensive rating has been 7.5. So I did the next part of the research. I looked at the teams that were in the bottom 20% of pace, but that were in the top 10 in percentage of field goal attempts for threes. So top 10 now. This increased the sample size to 16 teams, so you're really adding just five teams over 10 years. 14 of the 16 had a winning record. All but last year's Dallas Mavericks were in the top half of the offensive rank. 10 of the 16 were in the top 10 in offensive rank. So, again, all but last year's Dallas were in the top half. 10 of the 16 were in the top 10. The average winning percentage goes from 62 down to 61, and the average offense goes from 7th to 8th. Only two teams, the 13-14 Knicks and the 16-17 Dallas Mavericks, had a losing record when being in the bottom 20% in pace of play and top 10 or top 33% of three-point percentage of shots or three-point attempts. I think this is the answer to Moneyball style in the NBA. If you just take the top 10 three-point shooting teams, the winning percentage is about 54%. If you take the top pace of play teams, it's not. It doesn't match up. There's no correlation. There's actually a slight correlation to slower pace in winning. And so here you have teams that are able to have a high-ranking offense while being slow pace of play, which in turn means you're playing better defensively, and you're able, if you're doing it, by shooting a lot of threes. I think this is the model by which the Jazz need to play next year. That doesn't make it easy, but that is the model by which I think the Jazz need to play in this upcoming season and try to spread the floor as much as they can if they're playing Favors and Gobert together. Sorry about that. But instead, try to find a way in which you're able to get the threes off while still being an elite defensive team. And if the Jazz can find a way to do that, be a top half offensive team while being a top five defensive team, they're really good. Then somehow, despite losing Hayward, you've become really good, and I would say largely because of your ability in your you've become very good because of your style of play and playing a Moneyball style. So that's my theory on what Moneyball is and how the Jazz should play. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch. I got great news for you. Murdoch has extended. Remember, I was telling you that they had this amazing deal going on for July through Pioneer Day. I got word yesterday they're going to extend that. So here's what it is. They've partnered with Golden West Credit Union to give you 1.99% on all new and used vehicles. That's part one. Part two, they still are continuing to give you $6,000 off a 2017 Tucson All-Wheel SE Plus or a 2017 Santa Fe Sport All-Wheel Drive. So that is continuing through. The final one is that if you buy from any Murdoch Hyundai dealership, you receive America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai Assurance. But Murdoch is now giving you $250,000 mile warranty. So those three things are part of the special package that's going on right now. I would also tell you that I have gotten to know the Murdoch family through this promotion and through driving the Hyundai, and am really impressed by Blake, who these people are, what their goals are, what they want you to experience. So you should feel really comfortable going to 4646 South State Street in Murdoch Hyundai in Murray. And then the other one is I've been driving the Hyundai now for probably 5-6 months. I think it feels like that long. And it's been just a cool experience. Eye-opening to me on what a good car it is, how well they drive, and what you get for it. So please take the time to add Hyundai to the list. And right now, the amount of things they have on the board to make it a great deal for you are just spectacular. It's Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street in Murray. They also are in Logan and in Linden. All right, let's get to the Kyrie story. Brian Windhorst of ESPN has reported and has the Jazz involved in some of it. He says the Cavs, the Jazz have been heavily involved in talks with the Cavaliers for multiple weeks now involving Melo and Kevin Love. Windhorst, if it's involving Cleveland, is pretty dead on usually. So I would give him, I don't always give him a break And I feel like certain reporters are better in certain areas. This is one where he's usually pretty strong. In fact, nearly impeccable. So it also makes sense, right? I mean, if the Jazz could get Kevin Love, he said it involved Diaw and Favors contracts for a large part of it, and that Cleveland would be interested in Derek Favors to play along with Tristan Thompson, which to me is surprising. I don't see that match as well. But that's what Brian Windhorst has reported. I don't know it. I don't have anything to back that up. But it doesn't surprise me necessarily. I mean, Dennis Lindsay's doing his job. The front office is solid. They're doing their work. And it makes sense. You know, frankly, Kevin Love's fit next to Rudy Gobert is probably in a lot of ways feels, I don't know if I believe this, but I will say this. It feels better from an offensive standpoint than Derek Favors. Now, I'm going to just quibble here for a second on that and say this. I do think that all of our opinions are always made based on offense. The average offensive rating in the NBA last year was like about a 103. The Jazz combination with Favors and Gobert on the floor defensively was a 96.5, which means that they were 6.5 points better on defense than the league average, which is really hard to do. It's not the equivalent of being 6.5 betters offensively. I think it's actually even harder than that, frankly. There just aren't a lot of defenses that are better than 96.5. I think of two-man groups, it might have been the number one two-man group in the league. So it's the equivalent of having one of the top one or two offenses in the NBA in your lineup grouping. And that looks aesthetically pleasing and feels right to us. And so whereas Favors and Gobert clogged up but defending the hell out of you doesn't feel right. Does that make sense? So I understand where people think that the Kevin Love match instead of Derek Favors with Gobert makes more sense. It spreads the floor. It makes more sense offensively. And frankly, though, worth noting that the Jazz defense offense with Favors and Gobert, I believe, if I remember correctly, is about league average. So it's not even, you know, that's not even that bad. And you know, Love can't play backup center. So it's, I don't know. I guess I am not as, I understand that there's a camp out there that just doesn't believe you can survive, and it's the majority of people in the NBA, frankly, that you just can't survive with Favors and Gobert together. I got it. I'm not in that camp. Okay? Let me just make sure that's clear. I'm not in that camp. I just don't believe it. I believe they're so dominant defensively and they're average offensively. And frankly, they were better than average offensively. Their offensive rating was a 107.2 in the 541 minutes they played last year. Their net rating was a 10.7. So I get it. It's cumbersome. It's hard. It doesn't feel right. But I don't buy it as that it's broken and can't work. I really don't. I just told you the value of the three. I get it's hard to get threes off in that circumstance. I'm not ignorant to what's going on here, but I'm not buying that system totally doesn't work. If anyone's following what I'm trying to say to you, and I know that the league is saying. So, we'll see. I guess so. My point of that is, if the Jazz were to acquire Kevin Love that everyone's talked about, yeah, I got it. Aesthetically, visually, feel it makes a lot of sense. Though I'm not convinced entirely that the end result would be anywhere near what we think it would be. How's that? All right, Kyrie. I kind of told you guys this was coming. I'd heard murmurs all year that he was really unhappy. The story here, though, goes way back. I talked about this on Locked On NBA. When the Cavaliers got Kyrie Irving, and I have some great sources on this. When the Cavaliers got Kyrie Irving, They were so scarred by the loss of LeBron that they just gave him everything they want that he wanted. Everything. They just treated him like he was the second coming, anything he wanted, gave him great, you know, just absolutely never asked him to earn anything as a rookie moving up through the scale. It was just given to him to make sure he was happy and liked Cleveland from the scars of having LeBron leave. And the impact of that is showing now, because now he's not getting that because LeBron took over, and clearly the adjustment for him to have LeBron take over was more than he was able to handle. And so in turn, this is where we suddenly sit, is now that he's unhappy, wants to go and move on. And there's a great question of whether he's actually that good as the lead. You know, a lot of people think he's Ben Gordon maybe, or, you know, he's not capable of leading the team entirely. He's the best one-on-one player in the NBA, but his numbers are just dreadful. Just dreadful when he is the primary guy on the floor. I think he's a pretty special player, but I think it's a real question, the fact that he wants out of this circumstance, that he's not interested. You know, there's a lot of things here that should be putting up major, major red flags if you're a team looking to acquire Kyrie Irving. But the talent, the number one pick, is so, so great that it's almost hard to bypass. All right, final thing. FanRag Sports is doing their rankings of offseason rankings of players, and Derek Favors came in at 88. They're doing something interesting. They're doing the Kelly Scaletta is doing this. He's doing the floor and the ceiling for every player. And basically he says, hey, he wasn't really a top 100 player last year. I think most of us would agree with that. He didn't top 30 minutes till March 30, only did it twice all year. I mean, that's just an incredible thing on Favors. But he had him at 88. He says basically because his ceiling is 50. He had him ranked 31st last year in the NBA. 39th from ESPN had him. I mean, if he – this is where, you know, if he gets back up to top 50, and I go back to what I was just talking about before with where, how great we are defensively. So with him not right last year, we were that great with him on the floor, right? That's with him not right. It's hard for me just to throw those numbers. If I'm going to believe in numbers, I got to believe in those too, right? Favors, I think, had like one fast break basket all year last year. On putbacks, he fell from 1.3 points per possession to one. Like, he couldn't get up. He couldn't bounce. He didn't have, now, is he going to again? That's something the Jazz physical therapy staff and rehabilitation staff have to be able to figure out and relay to the front office. And maybe not, right? The guy who played last year, he went from 1.26 points per possession to 1.06 because he had nothing in transition and he no longer was an offensive rebounding force. Those are two pretty darn important numbers. I mean, it's striking to look at some of the Favors synergy numbers one year to the other, right? So if you look at Favors last year, picking in some of the numbers that jump out. All right, so off the pick and roll as the roll man, he shot 48.7%. He was just mostly kind of a mid-range jump shooter. That puts him in the 39th percentile of all players doing that. It's not great, okay? On offensive rebounds last year, he shot 54.5%, which is 36%. And he was 4 of 6 in transition for the entire season. The entire season. Now, you go look, let's go back to 15-16, which, you know, frankly, he wasn't healthy for the whole season, but we can't, you know, at some point. On his pick and roll man stuff, he shot 54.9% and was 73rd percentile. Well, now he's got Rubio, so he should be, but that's a huge, that's a 7% jump, okay? On offensive rebounding, he shot 64.8% and was in the 91st percentile. And in transition, he was 16 of 30. Not great. So he needs to run more at 53, but not 4 of 6. Right? Not 4 of 6. And the other one is that he had a huge amount of action off the cut. Movement in the offense and getting things. So I just, it's a kind of the theme of this is probably two part. And there one is I just wouldn't close that door. On the whole Kyrie favors, all these Kevin Love, I get the trade proposal every day on Twitter. I'm not closing the door on Favors and Gobert together. The numbers to me are maybe just too good to deny. It's not easy. Derek's got to play with more bounce. He's got to play with more juice. But I think that may happen when he's healthy. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Thank you very much to the Murdoch family. Get the great deals are going on through the end of July. Hope you're super. Had a great day tuning in, and we'll try to grab you as the week another time as the week goes on. Have a great one. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.